Hello and welcome to another episode of From the Beginning here on Heavenward Thinking. Today we're continuing on in the book of Exodus. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 20. We're going to go through the first 17 verses. We finally arrived at the Ten Commandments. So we're going to look at a section that you are probably very familiar with and see what we can learn from this, what we can apply to our daily lives. Starting in verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony about your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." So here we have the Ten Commandments. Now we've been looking at how God has brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and we get a reminder of that in the first couple verses. We see that God is giving to Moses and the people important laws, important things to guide them along the path that they're going to have until they get to the promised land. Once they're in the promised land, how this is going to order society. It's going to do two very important things. One, it's going to guide how people are to have a relationship with God. What's my relationship with God? What do I need to do? What do I need to avoid doing? And then also, it shows me how I need to interact with those around me. Very, very important here, these Ten Commandments. And if you look around in our society today, despite the fact that we've gotten rid of the Ten Commandments from many corners of society, you'll still see evidence of these having an impact on our society today. Many of the laws that we have, regardless of what country you're in, many of the laws come right here from the Ten Commandments. They get their inspiration from Scripture. But it's important for us to not just brush past these. I think it's easy for us to do that. We know the Ten Commandments. Maybe you've memorized them. Maybe you know at least a handful of them. You've heard them a million times, probably. If you've been to church or Bible study, you've heard them, you've heard them, you've heard them. And so you might read this section and you might blow right past it, not seeing the significance of it because you already know it and want to move right past it. But it's important for us to look at this because, again, it shows us how we are to have a relationship with God and a relationship with people. So we'll look at the first one, our relationship with God, what the Israelites were told they were to do and not do here in this section. And we see no other gods before the Lord. He is to be our only God. The Israelites were told this. We are told the same thing, that we are to have no other gods. We are to worship the Lord alone. Also in conjunction with that, we see no idols. Super important for us again with that to understand that God is a jealous God, it says in verse 5. He wants us to worship him, to serve him alone. He wants to be the Lord of our lives. He wants to be the one in control, leading us. He knows best. We don't. And certainly false gods and false idols, they don't know best. And yet we might look at these commands and go, okay, I don't have any other gods. I don't worship other gods. I don't worship stone images or wooden images or pictures. I don't worship that. And yet, for so many of us, we probably, if we were actually honest, could find ourselves having trouble with this idol situation, because there are so many idols in our world today, whether it be sports, whether it be your job, money, it can be relationships, it can be all kinds of different things. We make idols in our life when we put anything above serving God. And so it's important for us to realize that in our context, in our daily lives. Then we look at, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. If you look at our society today, we have a serious issue with this, where we take the Lord's name in vain all the time. We see it in movies, we see it in books, we see it all over in our culture. It's important for us as Christians to set an example for other people to respect the name of the Lord. It should be holy. We should not use it lightly. And then we see, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Again, this is a two-part thing here. We are to honor the seventh day, the Sabbath day, because of God resting on it. And also, it is a gift to us. It's not just something, oh, I have to honor the Lord this day. It is a gift to us to rest, to take time, to be re-energized, to focus on the most important relationship in our lives, which is our relationship with the Lord, and to make that a priority. Then we go through this whole list here of how do I interact with those around me. So if I get my priorities straight, if I make sure that God is the one who is sitting on the throne of my life, the Lord of my life, then how do I interact with those around me on a daily basis? And we see that here, that we are to honor our parents. We are to not murder, not commit adultery, not steal, not give false testimony, not covet. All these different things guiding us to how do we have relationships with other people. Important for us too, as we are trying to live in society, look at what did God say. In our society today, we are quite off track, and the majority of that comes from us just abandoning all these simple biblical principles that we need to follow, guidelines that tell us how do I interact with other people. If we just would follow things like, let's not murder, let's not steal things, we would have a totally different society. And these are rules that God realized if he was going to bring his people into the promised land, they were going to need some guidelines, because the people around them, the nations around them, they were going to have other gods. They were going to have idols. They were going to have all kinds of different rules that allowed them to do all kinds of different things. And yet God's people were supposed to be different. They're supposed to be set apart. They're supposed to be a priesthood, a nation that was to direct other people to God, to point to him, to be a light in a dark place. And that's the same thing you and I are called to do on a daily basis. We are called to be different. If we are a Christian, then we are supposed to be a light to those around us. We're supposed to live differently, regardless of how other people are living. If they are throwing out all of these Ten Commandments, it's not for us to just go, well, I'll just go with the crowd. We have to live differently. We're called to be holy. We're called to live according to these commandments. We're called to live in a different relationship with other people. We are supposed to be light and salt, not just giving into the nations around us or the cultures around us, just like with Israel here, because God's giving the people these commands. We've seen previously, he's already given them some charges of, hey, you're supposed to be different. And the people have already told God, we just saw a couple of weeks ago, they already said, we're going to do everything that God says. We're going to do it. And we talked about, that's a great place to start. It's a great commitment. Yes, we're going to do all that the Lord says. We're going to keep his commands, but we know that the Israelites, they're going to struggle with this. And so we see this list, and we know if we've looked ahead in this story, the Israelites are going to constantly struggle to keep these Ten Commandments, just like you and I constantly struggle to keep God's laws and to follow after Christ wholeheartedly. This whole concept of the Ten Commandments is not supposed to just be, here's rules and regulations, you need to just follow this and be perfect. Again, we know if we've looked ahead in the story, the Israelites and you and I, we're not able to be perfect. We needed a Savior, Jesus Christ, who could fulfill the law, who could take our place, who could die on our behalf and offer us the gift of forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. And yet when we look at these laws, we shouldn't just discard them and be like, well, I don't need to do that because I'm under grace. I'm under the New Testament. You know, Jesus has already died and risen again. I don't need to worry about these laws. Well, we should look at them not just as laws, not just as something old that we can set aside, but something to prompt us to have the right heart for God, as we talked about in the first section here, the first set of commandments, and then the right heart for those around us. We need to make sure that we are living differently, and this is a great place to start. If you want to look different than those around you, look at these Ten Commandments. See, how can I start to apply these to my life? How can I let these guide my interactions with other people? How can I let them guide my relationship with God, making sure that he is my priority? And you'll be surprised to see what God can do if you will live according to his word. Read this section. I'd encourage you to read it this week. Read it over and over again. See what God is speaking to you. See how you can live differently, and watch what God will do in your life as you become a light to those who are living in darkness around you. As always, join us next time for another episode of From the Beginning here on Heavenward Thinking.